at the end of the day, they don't have enough blue chip talent. There's not enough top line talent on this roster to truly be one of the most feared in the NFC.
We're assuming one and done in the playoffs this year, right?
I don't know where I'm going.
In my heart of hearts, I think they're going to lose by double digits against Philly.
Kind of a sloppy game all in all. Far too many miscues.
Every single game, we got to do better. Look in the mirror, Matt LaFleur.
Jordan Love is still not right.
The message after the game was everybody was still together, not pointing fingers. You're doing that heading into the playoffs may not be the greatest sign. Never seen to
find what I'm looking for. Jordan Love from last year is gone. This guy, he still looks like a second-year player.
If the Packers can't win, I need to have an emotional investment in another team.
You know who all the pressure is on in this game? To walk it on, the
Lord is free. Showtime, baby.
It ain't the pack.
Love steps up.
Wide open, Jaden Reed. Goodbye. Touchdown, Packers. 70 yards.
Touchdown, Wicks wide open. Green Bay takes the early lead.
This isn't the plucky underdog story.
Hurts from the end zone. Intercepted. Taken away by Xavier McKinney.
Jacobs, he does not go down. Touchdown, Jacobs.
Just another example of many of Josh Jacobs making people miss.
Those curtains are coming open and the lights are going to come on and you're going to get exposed or you're going to showcase yourself.
Some new faces, a new team. Can't live on what we might have did last year against Cowboys.
Guys got to be dialed in and truly play each play as if it were your last.
Whoever wins this game Sunday is going to go to the Super Bowl.
We got to go out there and do it again.
Touchdown, Green Bay! Here I
go again. The 10 o'clock hour of Wilney and Tausch begins very late, but worth it. Your montages are really, really
good. He's a good montager.
We give you a hard time around here, but they are fantastic. Hopefully, see, why you got to do that? Can't you just take the compliment? You take a victory lap in the producer's room?
Parade wave.
Yeah, that's you.
Appreciate it.
Time now. Hopefully, your prize picks are just as good.
They have been lately. Big college basketball win the other night. 4 out of 5 on the college football game last. I'm reading these college football playoff games like a book, every one of them. This has been amazing. Let's see how we do with the Green Bay Packers and the Philadelphia Eagles on Sunday. Prize picks of the week. Starting with Josh Jacobs on the ground. More or less than 70.5 rushing yards, Tausch. That's a tough one.
That's a great number.
God, they're good at these projections.
That's probably why they're good, and it's Jesse knows how to beat it. Oh, Jesse, let me ask you, what are you going to do? I might just ride with Jesse.
Let's do it that way this week instead.
By the way, last week when I said I felt good about these with you and Bulaga, I think I went 4 out of 5 on those as well, so that was another winning day. I would take less on Josh Jacobs' rushing yards based on what you said earlier. Vic Fangio's no idiot. And he knows the Packers are going to want to control time of possession and run the football effectively. So they're going to do everything to take Josh Jacobs away running the football. So I think it's going to be an error venture for the Packers on Sunday to try to win the game against the Eagles.
An error venture.
I am going to say more. I think more. And this is a sneaky reason why. Well, I'm shooting straight with you guys.
Uh-huh.
I think the fact that Bo Melton is going to be in the game more on some of these outside runs and crack blocking and bringing in, you know, to go dig out the most dangerous guy. He's a pretty good blocker. I think he's going to get that opportunity to bust one where you get Josh Jacobs doesn't let anybody, he doesn't let the first guy get him. So if you all of a sudden have a wide receiver that's physical, that's Alan Lazard-ish, go in there, dig guys out. Let's go do it.
Don't you mean Malik Heath?
Either one. Both of those guys, get them in there. They're going to have to go in. Let's see them compete. And I think you're going to see, I saw some clips of Bo Melton digging guys out. I saw clips of Malik Heath going. I want to see, I think you're going to see the more physical wideouts, these guys that don't get a ton of reps and aren't, you know, in there thinking I'm bummed that I'm not getting a pass, which not saying these other guys aren't willing blockers, but there's a difference. We know that. Let's go see what happens.
I'm going to go less. Next.
Jason and I are on the same page. Let's go to those receivers then.
Yeah, it'd be great if we did.
Jayden,
I mean, not for Jesse.
What do you care? Yeah, you don't. You don't turn your sports opinions into real cash. You just you hedge and hem and haw.
I don't.
And then say, well, I thought this might happen.
And then I act like a J-wag.
I turn my sports opinions into cash, and then I buy things with that cash. I turn my sports opinions into property.
Thing, when you start bringing up all of our, from either me or Bulaga, when you bring up like the Seattle Day and 4th and 26, I got a new little wrinkle I'm firing back at you. So I'm excited when you do this again. I'm going to fire some stuff. I'm going to bring some low moments in your professional career up. So continue. Go ahead, Jess.
Jaden Reed and Romeo Doubs are both listed at 4 receptions on the dot. 4 for Jaden Reed or Romeo Doubs. Do you feel good about either of those going either way on it, Tausch?
God, Jaden Reed, I just don't know. I don't know with Jaden Reed. I'm not touching the Jaden Reed projection. Not touching it. Romeo Doubs is more. He's going to be fresh. He is kind of Jordan's guy. That's where he leans when the money's on the table. I think he's going to get more than 4. I like more with Romeo.
Well, from what I understand, none of those 3 top wide receivers are going to have productive games, so I'm going to go less for everyone.
No, they're not going to have monster days, is what I said. Don't misrepresent me. It's a monster days. Come on.
Saquon.
How about Penn State last night? They don't have 1 receiver catch a pass.
Would have been nice.
What a joke. What a joke. Dream fulfilled, am I right, Hunter? Got Notre Dame with a big win. I bet he slept good last night with that dream.
Heck of a game, though. I got it. That was a fun game.
Fun game. Absolutely.
Saquon Barkley had a monster day against the Packers in the opener in Brazil. How about more or less for Saquon Barkley? 118.5 rushing and receiving yards combined. 118.5. More or less, old T. I'm leaning less on it. I think in the playoffs, typically you go less in the opening round. I think the Packers will have a plan in place for him this time.
Agree with you, Les. I think this is, I feel like this is going to be a lower scoring game than people feel. I think both teams are going to be a little nervy. I think both teams are going to struggle a little bit with third down conversions. I'm going less too. I think the Packers figured some things out, and I'm more nervous that there's going to be some big plays against them because they're going to be selling out to stop, you know, the run game. And I think they will slow Saquon down this weekend.
More. Next.
My new favorite category, Brandon McManus and Jake Elliott, more or less than the longest made field goal, 47.5 yards.
Well, after last weekend, you have to think more.
I like more in this one. They're both good kickers, playoff proven.
Yeah, I saw Elliott.
Going to be a tight game.
He missed the 33-yarder in practice the other day. He might be feeling a little nervy, if you will. McManus is a stud. One of those guys will hit it. I still think with McManus, if it's 1.5, which is usually where his prize pick projection's at, I've had very good success going more on that for a bunch of this season. So I like where your head's at on that. 47, you're going to see a long kick, couple of long kick opportunities, maybe even to finish a game off. I like more on that as well.
I am as well in on that. And of course, now that I am, we'll see what Brandon McManus does. He's missed 1 kick all season since
Sunday,
he arrived.
Sunday article?
With the Packers. No, I'm really excited about my Sunday article.
Who is it?
And I hope you can read it. Well, I'll tell you later.
Probably
Not Jeff Hafley. Although he is part of the story. I'll tell you a little bit about that later in the show. We need to get to Rob Domofsky, but only after Old T tells us about how fun it is to turn your sports opinions into profit with Prize Picks.
Well, there's over 10 million members and billions of dollars in awarded winnings. Prize Picks has made daily fantasy sports fun. Listen, Jesse has his sports opinions. He's been nailing the college football playoffs, so he claims, winning big. We just went over a bunch. I like Saquon less this weekend than the 117. I like McManus with more than 1.5 field goals made. I'm not sure on Josh Jacobs. I'll have to think on that. I'm going to look at, I don't even know what Jordan Love's numbers are, but that's what's fun. You can turn your sports opinions into real cash, and Prize Picks is the place to do it. You can win up to 1,000 times your money on Prize Picks. It offers MasterCard for quick and easy deposits into your account this sports season. Prize Picks gives you that opportunity. Simple, 60 seconds, and you can turn those opinions into real cash. Download the app today. Use code WI. You get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Again, download the app today and use code WI to get $50 instantly after you play that first $5 lineup. Prize Picks.
Oh, today I get to participate.
Yeah,
Run.
I'm more focused. Prize Picks.
Run.
Your
game.
Henderson, more rushing yards tonight.
Ohio William State. Henderson?
Now, Travion, more. Texas can't stop the run.
Hook 'em horns. Our Steinhoffel sleepers of the week, which somehow Malik Willis didn't win last week, are next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Give me one reason to steer, and I'll turn right back.
Time for our Steinhoffel sleepers of the week. We're going to go a little fast here, like the Bears at the end of the game on Sunday, so we can get to Rob Domofsky on time. I want to remind you, start the new year off right with a new room from Steinhoffels. I know we're planning on doing that with our what used to be the girls' playroom and turning that into more of a teenage hangout room. And Steinhoffel is going to help us do it. Find amazing deals on something for every space. Bedroom, dining, living room, and more. Something for every style and every budget, which is certainly important to Paula and I. And with Steinhoffel's 18-month 0% financing, your new room just got even more affordable. Plus, when you spend over $1,999, you'll get a $100 university bookstore gift card. And I've got my eye on this old school hoodie that they have brought back from when I was a student. I want to get one of those at the bookstore. I think it's $75, so I'd have a little left over. Shop in store and online at steinhoffels.com. Time for our Steinhoffel sleepers of the week.
Don't sleep, you gotta stay up. Hey there, sleepyhead. Wakey, wakey.
Okay, campers, rise and shine.
It's time for the Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week on Wilde and Tausch.
All right, old boy. You won the championship.
Good win for old T. 9 in a row. Like the Bulls, yes. Three repeats. Which
Kim Jong Tausch. And his 18 holes in one on his golf round, which the reference didn't make sense then.
It's funny. Well, I didn't Google or put anything in about it. You know what showed up on my feed yesterday? Kim Jong-un, 11 holes in one in an 18-hole match.
Ah.
You tell me that ain't crazy?
Your phone's listening to you.
Hey, we don't know what this world's hitting us with, but it's coming. Let's just be aware. Make sure we're ready for it. Just like the Philadelphia Eagles should be ready for playoff B. Playoff bow. I said it yesterday. I thought Musgrave, because I think Musgrave is going to need to be good, but I'm rolling with my guy. Big, bad playoff. Bo Melton is my Steinhoffel sleeper of the week.
It's a great choice, and it's an actual sleeper since he only caught 8 passes all season. Really good choice. Jesse, who you got?
Devontae Wyatt has 3 fumble recoveries in his career. One of them was in the opener against the Eagles back in Brazil. I'm going to go with Devontae Wyatt, hoping for a big defensive play to help propel the Packers this weekend.
All right. It doesn't matter what the standings are because Tausch will claim victory no matter what. Well, so
the standings are what they are, guys. I didn't run the standings this year.
We're aware. Greatest boss ever. The best
Thanks,
boss.
Guys.
God, we're so lucky to have you as a boss, says the 565 analytics crew. I'm going to call the biggest shot in Steinhoffel's sleeper of the week history.
Whoa.
Because I'm not even sure he'll play on defense unless there's an injury.
Oh, I thought you were going Malik Willis. That would have been bold.
Well, I went Malik Willis last week. he played. He completed a 41-yard pass to Malik Heath, and he led them to the lead after they were trailing when he replaced Jordan Love, and yet he wasn't the winner.
He took second.
He did. He did, didn't he? Quite the operation.
As chairman of the Wildy and Tausch Rules Committee, we will address the judging of the sleepers of the week in the off season and reassess for next year.
After I take over the headlines, as I've been told, because the movies weren't as popular as the songs, which everyone agrees on, but I'm the bad guy. Anyway.
True.
This guy has not intercepted a pass or broken one up since the Carter administration.
This isn't that big. Come on.
Eric Stokes with an interception of Jalen Hurts. He's not even in their nickel.
The big poo-pooer. He's a first-round pick. Okay. If you hadn't made this big proclamation, I'd be like, oh, it's interesting. But the fact you said the biggest in the 9-year history of the sleepers, like, no, it's not. It's just not. It's not. It's not. It's not.
Rob Domofsky joins us next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
The time has come. It's our guy. It's Rob Domofsky. Rob, good morning. How are you?
What's going on, guys?
Oh, do you look nice today?
Somebody's got an ESPN hit today, don't they? Yeah, they do.
You are so good looking.
It's either that or it's 22 degrees in this office here, and I grabbed my sport coat out of the hanging bag here.
Yeah, but you ain't wearing a button-up if you're not going on TV. Like, who are we kidding? You got me,
but it is freezing in here. Apparently, because there's not going to be another game here at Lambeau this year, they just decided to shut the heat off.
I've got a Boston College hoodie if you need to warm up a little bit. Doesn't fit me that well.
Wants that bag.
How are you feeling about this team going to this game? Jesse made his montage. We hear you talking about how after the game, the messaging about there's no finger pointing, that's never a good sign. Obviously, Matt LaFleur did not particularly enjoy my or Pete Doherty, Sports Writer of the Year's, questions about comparing last year's vibe to this year's vibe. Yeah. What's your vibe on this team?
Yeah, you know I'm a big momentum guy.
Matt LaFleur only believes in momentum when he has it.
Correct. Yeah, he's a big gut guy, as we heard earlier in the year.
Him and me both.
I could go somewhere with that, but the momentum thing is gone, right? I mean, it's missing. The fact that, I heard that clip of me saying, that they had to have this, sort of guy speaking up. And the more I've thought about it, I don't think that's necessarily the greatest thing that you have to have that. But at least they're having it and not saying, oh, that last game didn't matter. And, who cares that we didn't win that game kind of a thing. So I do think you can look at that both ways, Jason. And I mean, I will say their head is not in the sand about how they're playing and how they're going into the playoffs. That they're not completely ignoring the fact that they are not going in with the kind of momentum that they would like. So what they do with that, that's up to them.
All right, Rob. So someone on Twitter just brought up an interesting question, I thought. And you look at this matchup and you're breaking it down and you're talking to your Philly beat folks. Where does Green Bay have an advantage in this matchup this weekend?
I think either Brust or Nortman or Kyle asked me that exact question. And in my mind, I was scrolling through the matchups. I'm not sure I came up with one. The only place I think that they have a distinct advantage, hold on, hear me out on this.
No, I was acknowledging Jason because he's sitting there like, whoa.
That's what I just said like an hour ago.
Yeah. Didn't mean to interrupt you, Rob.
The pressure is all on Philadelphia for a number of reasons. One, they're the higher seed. That's just a fact. Two, do you remember what it was like last year for Philly with the coach and the quarterback and how they collapsed late in the year? Now, obviously, they responded had a great regular season, but that means nothing to Philadelphia, to the organization, to the fans, maybe even to the coach and the quarterback if they don't take advantage and make a little bit of a run in the playoffs. So to me, the pressure is squarely on them, more so than maybe even it was last year on Dallas.
So but there's no one matchup where you're like, oh, I like this better. The running game. Whose running game do you like better?
I mean, I like Saquon Barkley just because he's had a better year. I do think the Packers' offensive line is as good as the Eagles' offensive line, but is it better than the Eagles' defensive line? You know what I'm saying? Like, the Packers' offensive line is really, really, really good. But the Eagles' defensive line is better than the Packers' defensive line, and that's who the Eagles or the Packers' offensive line is going against. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
Jalen Carter is, I mean,
he's a dog.
Like, that guy is a menace. And he does everything. Like, he plays, I think he plays like one of the highest percentages of defensive snaps of any defensive lineman in the league. And as we know, those guys rotate quite a bit. So the Packers don't have that. They don't have a Jalen Carter up there.
Rob, what do you think with Fangio? Obviously, Green Bay had success in Brazil moving the football, some big chunk plays. But how much better do you think Philly's defense is from where it was?
Right, but isn't that the Fangio way, though?
Yeah.
Right? Like, and that's what the Packers tried to replicate with Joe Barry is, you know, we keep guys in front of us. We make them go 14, 15 plays down the field and hope they make a mistake, and we're not going to give up the big plays. And that's true. I do think the Packers, even though they don't have their deep threat guy in Watson, maybe this isn't a game where he was going to have a big impact anyway, because that's what they're going to try to take away. So maybe the loss of Christian Watson in the short term isn't a killer in this game. And think about the way that they play, right? That's why Jaden Reed had such a big game, 4 for 138. And a receiving touchdown and one rushing touchdown in that game in week one. And Jaden Reed to me is an interesting guy this week because he has said, I have not been a big part of the offense, not necessarily blaming anyone, but saying I haven't produced. He said this week, and the quote is, I'm trying to do everything I can to get myself back rolling. And I have that written down here because I'm going to use it on SportsCenter this afternoon. But to me, that's like a big guy in this.
You're a pro. You're a pro, Rob. Everybody knows that.
Jaden Reed told me.
He didn't. He told the whole group. So
no one will
know. I can't pull the he told me when he told everybody. But so, to me, he's a really interesting guy to watch this week because of both the fact that he had the big game against the Eagles in week one, and he hasn't had one really since the 2-touchdown game against Miami in week 13. And even in that game, his numbers weren't big. He only had, I think, 3 catches for, I don't know, 40
Rob,
why, yards or whatever.
What's your explanation for that? Because we all thought he was going to be the definite number one guy.
Right.
Most catches. And I know he
100 catches.
I know he ended up leading the team in catches, but by all accounts, he did not have the season, even by him. He spoke to you exclusively and said that.
Right.
Why did he not have that regular season that we hoped?
Well, anecdotally, and I don't have the statistical evidence to back this up, Tausch, but it sure seems like the last month or 6 weeks, they've just taken more deep shots down the field and just tried to, you know, a little bit of chuck and duck. And sometimes that's okay with him, but he's not the number one deep threat guy, right? Like, you're more likely to go deep to Watson or Wicks, you know, than you are to a slot receiver. So that could be part of it. The other part of it is sometimes play callers, they make it more complicated than it needs to be, and they outthink themselves sometimes. And, you know, Jaden Reed had 300-yard games this season, but they were all probably, before the middle of November? So, sometimes maybe these guys, and in this case I'm talking about Matt LaFleur and the guys making the game plan, sometimes they outthink themselves, and I wonder if that is a little bit of what happened with Jaden Reed here.
You wonder if he's Reggie Jackson. Maybe Jaden Reed's Reggie Jackson.
Who knows? Mr. October. Very clever.
Good. Nice job, Jason.
Yeah, I'm glad I could help.
I was going to say, he doesn't wear 44. I think isn't Reggie Jackson wear 44?
He played for a bunch of teams. Currently?
It was Henry Pearson in training camp.
Yeah, it was.
What
number
no
was Narvison? He had a funky number for a kicker, wasn't he? 44?
Yeah, he might have been 44.
I think Narvy was 44.
The Narv dog, Narvy. Indeed.
Speaking of Reggie Jackson, Reggie Jackson was on the Angels and hit a home run in the game that I was the bat boy for the White Sox, my one day as a White Sox bat boy, Reggie Jackson.
Was Greg Luzinski around when you were a bat boy? Or is that too, is he too old?
Harold Baines?
It was 84.
Lamar Hoyt?
Definitely all those guys. I believe Richard Dotson was the starting pitcher the day that I went, and he got shelled early. It was like a 13-10 game or something.
Fun.
Does this open the door for me to tweet out the photo?
He's got the picture.
Yeah, that's a photo for sure.
Yeah.
Rob, we asked, before I turn this over to Jason, to let, and as he's posting your photo, we asked this week, and I'd be curious your take, Jordan Love didn't have the – what was your expectations coming in? Did you expect him to continue where he finished? Did you expect him to have these dips? Do you think he regressed or progressed from where he finished last season – this year?
I think the injuries in the first month of the season wrecked his ability to, you know, put up a statistical year that would rival the way he finished last year. I also think that it's not the biggest surprise that maybe there was a slight regression in year two based on, the fact that, sometimes year two, you think you almost get overconfident. You think you know more than you actually do because you did it last year. And I'm not saying that that's a conscious thing, but I do think that can happen. I don't think he's the first quarterback who's gone on to be really good quarterbacks that maybe had a little bit of a drop off in year two. If I remember right, I think Favre had it. I think Favre's numbers were worse, and definitely his interception numbers, I believe, were worse in year two than in year one. Now, I know year one, he didn't start from week one. It was, week three or four. But I don't think that's necessarily like unusual. And I don't think it's cause for panic. I do think he had to battle through the injuries. And when you look at the receiver numbers, going back to Jaden Reed and the whole 100-catch thing, I mean, all those receivers' seasons statistically were wrecked by the way they played, those 2 weeks that Love was out. I mean, they basically lost two games of production in terms of receiving numbers. So I do think everything's a little bit skewed by the way the year started. But I do think it's fair to say that he did, regressed or just didn't have the year that he had last year. That's absolutely fair.
Talking with former Chicago White Sox bat boy Rob Domofsky on Wildy and Tausch. I have located the photo. I'll get that posted momentarily.
Well, I'm currently scrolling through my phone because I believe I discovered more photos than even the one that you have.
Teaser.
But I can't. I have 3,975 photos on my phone, and I'm struggling to.
That's what my wife takes on one day of a vacation. I wish I was joking.
So, Rob, NFL and college football analyst Mark Tauscher said that Jordan Love, who you were just discussing, needs to have a 300-yard, three-touchdown day on Sunday for the Packers to win. And then when I said that the big three that remain in the passing game from a wide receiver perspective, Wicks, Reed, and Dobbs, need to be productive, he poo-pooed me. Are you putting it all on Tucker Kraft?
I love that Tucker Kraft guy. In terms of, I think he still, I'm still going to say it, I think he could be option number one, in a lot of cases. Mm-hmm. I do think, though, that if he has a 300-yard game, that could mean they were behind big and it's, garbage yards, too. Some of Aaron's biggest passing numbers were losses, right? Just because they had to,
Where's Philly's rush D again? I just want to be reminded. What's Philly's rush defense ranking?
I believe they're in the close to the top 10. And no, the pass.
I think they are one.
No, I think the pass defense.
It won't take me more than a minute here to find it. Okay, rushing yards per rush. They are actually not all that high in yards per rush, which some people would tell you is a better measure than they're ninth in yards per rush, which is decent, not unbelievable. And then what we want, yards per game, right? That's what we want, rushing yards per game.
Well, my point is, and Rob, there's no doubt.
They have the number one pass defense, by the way.
When you have 400 and 450 yards passing, that usually means you're scrambling to keep up and to do that.
They're 10th in rushing yards per game. So they're decent, but not impenetrable. But yes, you are right, Jason. They are number one in passing yards, fewest passing yards allowed per game at 174.2. Incidentally, the two of the next three teams in that category were very bad teams. Tennessee was second, and the Jets were fourth. So maybe that stat doesn't mean anything.
Okay.
Back to Tucker Kraft. Your expectations for what he can do in this game, then?
Well, it's my expectations are that they should use him more in a number one option position, right? Like, they always talk about who's the number one on this play or that play, and we never know that, right? Like, there's no way we can know the progression. But to me, he should be higher in the progression than he's been, or they should go to him when he is higher in the progression, is my point. I mean, I just think he's as dynamic a guy right now, maybe, as they have in terms of the ability to break tackles, the ability to get open. You know, I think he has a lot of things that, you know, maybe some guys have pieces of. I think he's got a lot of. Now, is he a burner? No, he's not. He's not just an absolute speed guy. But I think at this point, you know, they got to find something to hang their hat on offensively, and maybe it's him.
All right, Rob, I know you got TV to do, and I'll see you over there for Friday availability. Bottom line it for us.
I don't have TV till after practice, I'm going to go to practice and hustle up. I still can't find the other Bat Boy pictures, but I did find my mugshot from my column in my very first job, and I'm not sending this to you, but I'm
going to show it to you. Come on, Rob.
That is my mugshot from my first column.
All right, you got to move it over.
Move it, Jesse, so we can see it.
Jesse's got you in a narrow window.
Okay. There we go.
Oh, wow.
Are you sure that's a column logo and not an arrest photo?
Can you see the messenger?
Oh, my gosh. That's awesome. Messenger. Sweet shades. Those are good-looking glasses.
Are those ones that change if you're indoors or outdoors?
Your mood? The mood changes?
Mark Daniels had those. Those are not. I did not have the Mark Daniels glasses.
You used to smoke back then, too, when you took that picture. So what happens? What do you think happens?
Really, can Green Bay pull this off, Rob? I think that's the question we want to know. Do you think they can do this?
Yeah, I absolutely think they can. And it goes back to the pressure on Philadelphia. It would not surprise me one bit if the Packers win this game. Not one bit. Bill Barnwell, take him for what it's worth. He's one of our analytics guys. He crunches the numbers. You know, he's not a reporter. He doesn't talk to people, but he does look at it analytically. He's got the Packers.
He's too busy winning writing this game novels every week.
75,000 word story. Yeah.
It's a little bit long.
Does he get paid by the word or by the article? How does that work at ESPN?
I'm assuming he's got a big salary like I do.
Oh, yeah. Rich guys.
He has the Packers winning 19-17. He has them beating the Lions. He has them going to the Super Bowl and losing to the Chiefs. So you know, anybody wants to say, oh, no one's giving them a shot, at least one so-called national expert is giving them more than a shot.
All right. Well, speaking of giving a team a shot, the real important game is tonight. Ashwaubenon, DePere, sold-out crowd at the Kowalczyk Arena, or whatever you guys call that over there.
Kowalczyk Court, yeah.
What happens tonight? Because, for those that don't know, Ashwaubenon has a Division I recruit. Alabama is where he's headed.
Yep.
You've seen him play. You've had some interactions with him. What are your expectations for tonight for the Redbirds and the Jaguars?
Well, I'll be sure to stay seated during the game.
I don't believe that for a second.
You know, I don't want anybody to tell me to sit down, old man. But the it's going to be a battle, man. Like, it'll be fun. I just hope it stays clean because there's a little bit of, you know, a little bit of high energy and maybe, I don't want to say bad blood between these two teams, but Ashwaubenon DePere's, it's probably as good a rivalry as there is in basketball since my kids have been in high school. So we shall see. There is a YouTuber, you know, these YouTuber, Instagram, like film people are all the rage now. When we were down in Milwaukee for that tournament, I counted 13 cameras on the baseline, and not local TV. They're all these younger YouTubers, and they're filming. There's a guy coming to the game that has 483,000 followers on Instagram. Like why he's coming, I don't know. It's the Instagram account is strictly basketball, and the dude's got almost 500,000 followers. So that's Damn. More than me, you, Tauscher, and probably Balaga combined.
Boom.
Will Ron Tomofsky guard Amari Allen at any point during the ballgame?
That's a game plan question.
Yeah, don't be getting into that. What are you doing?
That sounds like a game plan question.
I didn't realize Rob was on the coaching staff. Totally my fault. All right, Rob, good luck on SportsCenter. Good luck tonight to the Redbirds, and we'll see you over at Lambeau Field in a little while. Thanks, buddy.
All right, sounds good, guys. We'll be seeing you.
That is Rob Domofsky.
I feel like Jason will be sitting in the cafeteria on his laptop writing articles like you were at the football game, sitting out on a porch.
Yeah, I will say this. I would like to go to that game tonight. We have a volleyball tournament that Sydney's in tomorrow, so I won't be able to go. We'll be traveling this evening instead. We'll discuss briefly our thoughts on what Rob's thoughts were next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
We're on the Packers playoff push.
The Green Bay Packers are still struggling to have an identity.
Because we're on Wisconsin Sports.
Internally, I think Matt LaFleur is still trying to chase who he is going to be and what type of way he wants to coach.
This is 100.5 ESPN and Wisconsin On Demand.
As always, to Rob Domofsky, former White Sox bat boy. Sent me a few more of his photos, which are pretty awesome. Meanwhile, a little bit of breaking news from the NFL. Xavier McKinney is a first-team All-Pro.
Yeah, deserves it.
Not surprising with Kirby Joseph. Since no players were voting in the All-Pro balloting.
Yeah, Kirby Joseph deserves it, too. He's been a hell of a player for them.
So those are your All-Pros safety position.
Thank you, Joe Shane. Thank you.
Yeah, still hard to believe. By the way,
guy kept his job is amazing to me.
Tausch's guy, Penei Sewell, also an All-Pro.
Yeah.
And Quinn Miners. UW Whitewater alum.
Oh, Meinerts. Okay. I don't think it's minor. I think
there's no T in Meinerts.
There's a TZ, isn't it, at the end of it?
It's M-E-I-N-E-R-Z.
I thought there was a T.
I appreciate the correction, J-Watt.
Well, I don't think he announces it like he's a coal miner, but I could be wrong.
I don't know about your leg, but Meinerts.
That's not bad. That's pretty good.
We've got a volleyball tournament to go to. You know where we'll be stopping during the drive. Of course, it'll be a Quick Trip.
Indeed. Oh, life is busy. And you know what? Quick Trip gets it. Whether you're craving fresh coffee, tasty bakery treat, a quick grab-and-go meal, or a snack, Quick Trip is your go-to. Variety and quality. Fast service. Quick Trip's team is all about making your day easier and better. Clean restrooms to fresh groceries and everything in between. You know what? They give you free air. Your tires need air. Go over there. They'll give it to you for free.
But those aren't the only perks. You got bananas and jumbo onions and potatoes, 29 cents a pound. You can also get sausage links for $2.49, block cheese, pizza, chicken, everything that you're looking for. It's cold out. Grab yourself a soup. Who doesn't like a good hot bowl of soup on a cold, wintry day? And get a soup bag, $6.99. Everything you got, you can get at Quick. Download the app. Use that Quick Rewards app to order ahead for pickup, or you can go curbside. Quick Trip. We'll see you next time.
Per the Denver Broncos team website, Quinn Miners pronounces his name Miners.
Miners, not miners. Like children. Not that. Not coal mining. Miners.
No, that is what he's saying. It's a
Miners. I don't want to get in a fight. I don't want to fight you today.
It seems like you do, actually.
No, trust me, I don't.
The 11 o'clock hour, we'll sing Kumbaya. We'll get ready for Packers and Eagles. The 11 o'clock hour starts in 2 minutes. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.